right now, imagine this. Surrounding your body is a massive mix of microbes that hover in the air around you in what's called a microbial cloud. This includes microbes like bacteria, yeast, skin cells, cells from your gut that come out of unspeakable places. And every time you move or breathe, these cells shoot into the air around you and are exchanged with everyone in your vicinity. At a microbial level, we're really up close and personal right now. Feels kind of weird, right? But what if you don't know who you truly are and you are made up largely of not you elements? It turns out there's as much bacteria in the human body as there are human cells. There are about 10,000 species of microbes living in you right now, which includes bacteria, viruses, fungi. And on your face right now is a festive community of face mites that can't be scrubbed off. Basically, we're each our own walking ecosystem, and we're constantly exchanging elements with the other ecosystems in our vicinity. And how does that change the way you think about your own individual identity? And how does it change the way you think about the strangers around you? I'm an artist and an author, and for the past few years, I've been doing research on the science that explains our interconnection with the world, and I compiled a bunch of my research into a book that I illustrated. It's called This Phenomenal Life. And in my book, I use my illustration as a way to bring a sense of joy, quirkiness, and humor to some of the subjects that I've been exploring. And the reason that I'm interested in this theme of interconnection is I'm very concerned with the state of the world right now, and my concern is echoed in this quote I want to share with you. It's by Baha'u'llah, the prophet founder of the Baha'i faith, and he said this over 100 years ago, but I still find it so relevant today. He said, "The well-being of mankind, its peace and security, are unattainable unless and until its unity is firmly established." Okay, so I thought, if there's some truth to this, right, that this peace and security that we long for, we can't have that until we establish our unity, what can I do as an artist to help promote unity? And so I started my book project with the idea that the more we're all collectively aware with how we are essentially interdependent with each other and interdependent with all life on Earth, the more we realize, first of all, who we truly are. And second of all, the more we have an urgency to work for the betterment of the world because we realize the world is really just an extension of ourselves, right? And that's what's been so cool about what I've been researching is that there are countless ways that we're connected with each other, unseen ways, ways that we're connected with the wild and mysterious processes of the universe. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what we're doing. For example, we are each literally made of stardust. It's kind of like microbial you, except in a Speedo. But almost all the elements that form the human body, like carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, were forged in the heart of a star billions of years ago. These stars exploded and spread these elements across the universe, and eventually they clumped together to form Earth and all life on Earth, including us. So we share this incredible ancient elemental heritage with all life on Earth and with our environment. Some elements, like carbon, cycle incessantly through the Earth's biosphere over billions of years, which means an atom of carbon in your body right now could have once been part of a diamond, a volcanic eruption, or a fierce dinosaur. But what I found really fascinating through my research is what the study of genetics, the study of our DNA, can tell us about how we're connected with each other. We know that we share genetic material with all life forms on Earth. For example, we share about 60% of our DNA with a banana plant. We share 65% of our DNA with a chicken. And we share 99% of our DNA with the animal we're most closely related to. A pufferfish. I'm just kidding. It's not a pufferfish, although I know emotionally many of us can relate to a pufferfish. It's chimps and bonobos. And despite the great diversity of our ethnicities, of our cultures, our diversity of our physical traits, we are all 99.9% the same, genetically speaking. And what's more is humans are all related to each other. Geneticists can track everyone's family lineage through their mother's side to a single common shared female ancestor who's known as the mitochondrial Eve. So this means all of us here are mothers, 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 and so on for a long time. Mother was a woman who lived in what's now called Angola, Africa, and she's estimated to have lived about 200,000 years ago. So this wasn't the first person on Earth. There was other people alive at this time. This just happens to be someone that geneticists can track us to through a genome that's in the mitochondria of our cells. But what this means is that everyone on Earth are great-granddaughters and great-grandsons of this ancient African ancestor. We're all part of an extended African family. We have other common ancestors as well, completely aside from the mitochondrial Eve. Everyone alive on Earth right now shares a common ancestor who's estimated to have lived about 3,000 years ago. And if you're from the same cultural or ethnic background and country as a friend of yours, you may have a common shared ancestor from as recently as 600 years ago, if not more recent. The point is, we're all cousins or distant cousins from one another. Guess we need to get more potato salad for the family reunion this weekend. Okay, taking this idea even further, you guys have heard of 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. So new research shows that because of social media platforms like Facebook, we're all an average of 4 degrees of separation from anyone else on Earth. So that means all of us here know someone who has a friend, who knows someone who's friends with anyone. You know, a university student in Kenya, an engineer in India, a mother in Japan, a child in Syria. The problem with all this great information is that our mainstream narrative of reality just hasn't caught up with these truths. And the tragedy of that is that millions of people, of our cousins, right, are suffering and struggling and dying because of this blatant and irresponsible denial of the truth. I think if we look at any social injustice happening in the world, you know, this rise in violent nationalism, the legacies of colonialism and slavery that caused so much racial disparity to this day, any genocide, I mean, any social injustice, the roots of that issue are in a worldview that's fragmented and distorted and delusional and really in denial of the fact that we are one human family. But the good news is that ideas can change and worldviews can change, and they are changing. And maybe that's the spirit of this global era that we find ourselves in right now, that we have these indisputable scientific proofs of our oneness, and we have the ability to apply that knowledge and try and better the world. I know this guy's applying the knowledge. He's turning into a plant. That's how advanced his thinking is. Anyway, now that we're all hyper aware of our interconnection with each other, our close degrees of social connection, I propose that we let our thoughts become words, our words become actions, and in this vast web of interconnection with all life on Earth, let's never underestimate the power of our efforts towards love, justice, and unity. Thank you.